And I want to read from my text this morning, which is from the Epistle to the Romans. The Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, which says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. The power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Join me in prayer. Father, as we look now to your word, I pray that you speak to our hearts, that we would hear the voice of God speaking to us, and something would happen in our hearts and our lives by being impacted by your word this morning. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I can share Paul's sentiments here exactly because I too have felt its power in my life. That is the power of the gospel. He says it's something that he's not ashamed of. He's not ashamed about what God did in his life. And that's the way I feel as well. Now, as I look at how I grew up in my life, I had a belief in God, but my belief in God was no more a part of my life than my belief in the boogeyman. In fact, I believed in God about as much as I did the boogeyman. Now, that was a real belief because I really did believe in the boogeyman growing up as a kid. I can remember in the dark thinking that he was going to be right there, and I can also remember running when I was a kid in the dark on my way home because the boogeyman was chasing me. You ever have those kinds of experiences as a kid? They still happen, by the way. No. And so, but that's kind of the way that I grew up. I went to church once in a while, and I was trying to reach for this, but I don't ever remember lying to Father Novak as I said my confession, but I'm sure that I didn't tell him everything in confession, as a kid. I know he could see me, and I know he knew who I was. You know, if you were Catholic, you have that kind of experience, you know what I'm talking about. But whatever good I felt, and I can remember as a kid, a young kid, feeling good, about the once in a while that I went to church and, doing those initial things that kids do as a Catholic. And I felt good doing those things. But the good feeling didn't last long because mostly, I was a bad Catholic boy, mostly. And then something happened in my life. And the thing that happened was that my life was touched by the power of the gospel. And the way that I like to think about it, what happened in my life is this. Now, I got to just say this little parenthesis because some of you hear this every March, right? Because this happened to me, this experience happened to me in March. In fact, it was March 1st, 1972, just a few years ago. And I like to think of it this way, of what happened to me. We all know what metamorphosis is, right? And that's the stages of a tadpole becoming a frog, right? So most of us know about that, right? And growing, and as I look at how it was that I came to really believe in God and experience salvation, not like a tadpole becomes a frog, Say, well, it was, a step-by-step kind of thing, and I was taught really good in catechism class. Mostly, the nun sent me to the closet. I remember standing in catechism class in the coat closet on more than one occasion. It was the other kids mostly, but I got blamed. And so, it wasn't that type of thing at all. But it was more like, you could say, that frog becoming changed into a butterfly. That's what it was like for me. So that it was a complete change of species. And this is what the scripture says in another place. It says that when we come to Christ, we become new creatures in him. Old things passed away. It says, behold, all things become new. And at that moment in my life, it was a miracle. Something happened in my life. I had never been in a Protestant church before, never. And in fact, I was brought up saying, you don't ever go in there. And I had relatives, they were bad Catholic relatives as well, who used to do some bad things to the Protestant church. In fact, the very Protestant church that I went into, I was invited to this particular church where an evangelist was speaking. And I mean that meant nothing to me as a kid. I heard the name Billy Graham. He used to be on TV quite a bit during those days. Wouldn't even cross my mind to watch Billy Graham, you know. But I had sort of an idea. But I was invited to go to this church, Protestant church that I, you know, was threatened not to go in, to go near. But this girl invited me to go, and I have to say, she was quite the girl. My wife, if she were sitting here now, she'd be rolling her eyes. But it's something. Chavella was her name. Come on, you know. And it was like, you want to go to the church to find out what's happening there? And it was like, I'll go to the moon with you, you know. I'll die for you. Whatever you want, you know, is yours. And it was like, you know, I thought it was like, wow, she's asking me, because we grew up together. She was a grade ahead of me. And never in my wildest dreams that I registered on her radar. And she wanted to go to this church to find out what was going on, and she wanted me to go with her. Honey, I'm all yours. And so I went. You know, I picked her up at her house, and I went. And so many things bad were going on in my life at that time. I was just 16, just a turn 16. And like I say, I mean, I was just strung out on drugs, really bad stuff happening to me. And I guess something was going on in my life that, you know, I was searching for something, even at that young age. Searching for something real in my life. And so I went in, and, you know, it wasn't as weird as everybody told me it would be like. There were no saints around. That was different. At least no statue saints around, you know. And they had somewhat of music going on like we have going on. I wasn't used to that as well. And there was no ornateness about it was pretty nondescript, as like this building here is, this room here is. But when I walked in to the room, walking up the steps, I feel what I felt then, right now. A tremendous peace came over my life. And as I say, I was in pretty bad shape. Drugs had taken their toll, and I wasn't in my right mind because of that. But when I walked in those doors, something came back to me that I had lost. A tremendous sense of peace. And I sat down with Cha and Chachi and sat down with her. And the service went on, and I was about over here towards the front. And I remember thinking how wonderful this was and how it wasn't really that strange at all. And that was unusual, because I never experienced anything like that before. It was like I was in a different country, being brought up the way that I was. And I mean it was serious, because when my mother found out, my dad had died, but when my mother found out that, she flipped. I mean, she flipped. She really did. And I had other relatives that flipped when they found out. And so, I mean, it was pretty serious, but none of that mattered because of something that I felt in my life. And none of it seemed strange to me that was going on in that room. The singing, people, you know, I mean, where I went to church at St. Joe's, nobody sang. At that time, the nuns used to sing once in a while. And, you know, I used to sneak a peek, you know, look back over up once in a while and see them singing. But like I say, there was something so inviting about it, something so powerful about it, because something was beginning to change. This guy got up, who was called the evangelist, and he began speaking. And he began speaking about the power of the gospel, how it can change a life, and how, you know, a person when they... He was saying Jesus saves. And, you know, that phrase, Brian and I were talking earlier this morning about phrases from the 60s and early 70s, you know, that were a part of our lingo that we no longer say, like, you know, far out. I mean, who says far out anymore, you know? It's cool, you know. And we used to say Jesus saves quite a bit. You know, Jesus saves. And it was more than just, you know, a cliche, but we were feeling, I was feeling in my own life what that really meant. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And when he got all done speaking, he did something that I never saw before. He said, I would like to pray for you. And then he said, if you would like to know that Jesus saves, so I'd like you to come forward to this altar, to the front here, and to give your life to Christ. Well, I could still see myself, you know, I was like this, and my head was bowed like everybody else, and I really didn't have any intention to go forward. But this girl, Cha, who was sitting next to me, she grabbed my arm, and she said, come on. And it was like, well, okay, you know, I guess, you know, I guess, and like a little puppy dog, you know, I followed her up. And we're standing there, and as I'm standing there, I didn't feel like I was sticking out like a sore thumb, you know, because there were other people there as well. And as I looked around, you know, I'm kind of, you know, looking, you know, checking out who else is there standing. I'm like, wow. You know, other kids that I knew, other long hairs, you know, hippie freaks that I knew, were also standing there. Well, I was surprised. Wow. You know, I guess, you know, the word got out and they came to this church as well to find out what's going on. And so when I'm standing there, and this was how many years ago? 45 years ago? Yeah, 45 years ago. Wow. 45 years ago. That as I'm standing there, I, you know, it's like people who were there standing, most of them went to kneel down. There were no kneelers, of course, just they just knelt, you know. And I said, well, you know, I guess I might as well kneel. Everybody's kneeling, I'll kneel. And so I knelt down. And never, you know, it's just so out of character for me. But there was something going on in my life, because before that evening, I had been praying. I didn't really know how to pray, but I had a Catholic missal, and I remember opening it and praying, and some of the prayers just asking God for help. And asking God for help in particular, because one of the girls I was dating, she was a witch. And I was afraid that she had put a spell over my life. I mean, she was a real practicing witch. And I wanted God to break that spell, because I was just in a mess. And I would pray, God, you know, break this spell. And God, help me in my life. And when I made it there to the front, there was this, you know, culmination of everything coming together that was an answer to those prayers. As I said, I was a bad Catholic boy. When I was real little, and we were renting from some neighbors or landlords, they were Protestant Christians. And after I had given my life to Christ, I met him, and he pointed his finger at me, and he said, "When you were a little boy, I used to pray for you." We moved from there. By the way, they were Polish people, I remember. And we had to move into a small apartment. Our landlords there were once again evangelical Christians. And they lived below us, and they were Italians. And I can still remember hearing them downstairs, and if my family was there, whatever, they would say, "Shh, listen, they're rolling now." You know where I'm, you know what I'm saying? They're rolling now. Because they were what? Holy rollers. You know? They're rolling now. They say, "Shh, listen, they're holy rollers." And once again, after I gave my life to Christ, I met those people. And they used to pray for me. You know? So at that moment where I was in my life, so many things were coming together. A miracle happened. And when I went forward, I knelt down. They prayed for me. And when I got up, I was different. I felt different. It was this weird feeling. This is the only way that I could describe it. Have you ever been far away from home, maybe on business or vacation or someplace, and you know, you've been gone long enough, or maybe where you were, it wasn't very inviting. And when you made it home, it was like, you know that feeling? That at-home feeling. It's like, wow, it's so good to be home. I could still see myself right after that moment where Christ came into my life, where I had this tremendous feeling of being at home. I felt at home. And I remember walking around the church and saying hi to people and walking around the church as though I had been there all my life. That's the way I felt. And so here I am today. Here I am today. The power of the gospel touched my life in March, 45 years ago, and I remain grateful for that touch in my life. The gospel, and some of you may know, means good news. And it is good news, and it finds its good news from God, it tells us, and it finds its power in Jesus Christ, in what Jesus Christ did, and becomes a reality in my life when I plug into the reality of what Jesus Christ did. Just like a light that, you know, no power to the light, you can't turn it on. You plug in, the light comes on. Now, the bad news and the good news is not everyone believes. Not everyone believes. And that's the bad news and the good news. Not everyone believes. The bad news and the good news is that a lot of people think they believe, but when it really comes right down to it, they really don't believe. It's like me when I was a kid believing in the boogeyman. And we have this belief in God like we believe in the boogeyman. You know, oh God, help me with the numbers that I picked this week for them all to come out to hit the big one. And oh yeah, God, by the way, I promise you at least half. You know. And that's really, you know. The bad news and the good news is that not everyone gets saved. Even as it says here. It says, for salvation of everyone who believes. But God works hard, and he worked hard. Because the scripture also says that it is his desire that everyone comes to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ and gets saved. It's for everyone. It's indiscriminate. There's no racial divide in God. There's no discrimination in him. Even as it says, and what? For everyone who believes. And so there's a couple things that I just want to close with. Those couple of things that the power of God made me feel as I reflect upon that day, and the power of God that's yet available to bring the same feeling to you. Here's what I felt when the power of the gospel touched my life. God became real to me. He became real. You didn't have to convince me that God is real. He wasn't a figment of my imagination like the boogeyman. But I just knew God is real. Took no convincing, took nobody to argue with me, to give me any kind of, proofs that God is real. I just knew because I was introduced to God through Jesus Christ. He said, "Hi, Bob, I'm here." Oh, wow. That was the first thing that happened. God became real to me. The second thing that happened to me was that my guilty conscience went away. It's a horrible thing to live with a guilty conscience. A very horrible thing. Drives people mad. We do all kinds of things to ease a guilty conscience. We try to make our guilty consciences go away, sometimes by making things right. Right? And it's just a horrible thing. And when Christ came into my life and I saw his salvation, what was a part of the package of his salvation was that he took my guilty conscience away because he forgave me of my sins. And with that, a peace came into my heart like I never experienced before. Money couldn't buy it, There wasn't enough, credit line and master charge to get that one. That kind of peace. And then the last thing that I remember that happened that has carried me till today is this, that believing in Jesus Christ took on a life of its own. Took on a life of its own for me. So that in all the craziness of life, things happen. Things happen in our families. Things happen with our kids. Things happen at school. It just happens. You know the bumper sticker happens, right? You know what I'm saying? And you're not alive and aware of life for very long when you realize that bumper stickers also on your life. It just happens. And the thing that I mean to say by believing in Jesus Christ took on a life of its own in my life is that he became the new centering of my life. You understand? So that when this happens here and that happens there, I'm brought back to this center. I'm brought back to this stability. I'm brought back to this awareness that everything can fall apart, but my life doesn't have to because Jesus Christ is in my life. Money can't buy that. Money can't buy that. And so it's more than a belief. It's more than a belief. It's more than a belief that I was taught as a kid about God. But now, more than a belief, and this is what I mean, this is what I believe it means when it talks about believing here. The person who believes. It's the person who has a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the person who believes. And you say, you're stretching it. No, I'm not. Because this word, believe, is the kind of word that it's like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, right? You all know Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, right? Da-da-da-da, right? Da-da-da-da, right? If you just go, da-da-da, oh, come on. It's like, da, you got to have it completed there, right? And that's the idea here with believing. It's believing requires something to complete it. Otherwise, it's not really believing. And the language actually works that way. The verb here actually takes another word to complete its work. And so when the Bible speaks about believing, it means that I'm going to believe in someone. And unless you have that someone, you're really not believing. You see, I'm a believer. And we talk like this all the time. Well, what are you a believer of? Oh, I believe. Well, what do you believe in? There it is. And this is the kind of thing that saves our lives, believing in Jesus Christ. And it's that relationship that I have with Jesus Christ that centers me, regardless of the hell that goes on around me at times. And I'm grateful for that. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the power of the gospel. I want to thank you for the way in which that power touched my life so many years ago. Thank you for your grace. And now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon everyone here. And I pray, God, that these words would ring true in our ears, and that we would hear you speaking to us, that each of us might know that continued salvation of God in our lives. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Listen, go in peace. God bless you.